الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. آمنا بالله وصدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآله. Respected scholars, elders of the community, my brothers and sisters in Islam, salamun alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'azam Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. Amongst the scholars of spirituality, if you look at the scholars of spirituality, most of them have stated, of course, that our ultimate goal is to gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, every act of worship that we perform, as you know, is preceded by a niyyah, yes, an intention, where the niyyah is qurbatan lillahi ta'ala. Yes, the niyyah is we are performing this act of worship so that we may have proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question, of course, comes as to how do we get proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am closer to you than your jugular vein. So if Allah is already closer to us than the jugular vein, then how is it that we can get proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In order to understand this, of course, we have to understand that physical proximity is very different from metaphysical proximity, yes? When you're talking about physical proximity, of course, you are talking about physical proximity where a person who's close to you means that the other person also has to be close to you. But when you talk about spiritual proximity and metaphysical proximity, what it means is that something, a reality, may be close to you, but that does not necessarily mean that you are close to that reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be saying that I am closer to you than your jugular vein, but that does not necessarily mean that we, as finite beings, are close to some reality that is infinite, yes? So it doesn't mean that we are close to him if he is close to us. So the next question, of course, is how do I measure whether I am close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? The best way to measure whether you have proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by understanding if you are reflecting the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within yourself. The more you reflect and manifest the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within yourself, the closer you become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The challenge is that if you say that Allah is merciful, then the challenge is how merciful are you? If you say Allah is forgiving, then the challenge is how forgiving are you? If Allah is generous, how generous are you? If Allah is kind, how kind are you? As you start to manifest and reflect the names and attributes of Allah within yourself, you start to break down those veils between you and Allah, and you start to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best way to gain proximity is to reflect and manifest his names and attributes within yourself. When you reflect his names and attributes within yourself, you now expand your capacity, your existential capacity that I talked about yesterday. You expand that existential capacity and you start to become godly in your nature. Yes, you start to reflect Allah within yourself. And as you reflect Allah within yourself, you start to develop your moral and your ethical framework. You start to develop your moral and your ethical character. That is the crux of what this journey is. This journey towards the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a journey where you reflect the attributes and names of Allah within yourself so that you can build your moral and ethical character. And this is why when the Holy Prophet was asked, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, what is the purpose? Why have you come into this world? What is your purpose of coming into this world? His response is amazing, right? He says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The only, you see, this word innama in Arabic, you know, it has a connotation of exclusivity, yes? When you use this word innama, innama means the only, yes, the only. So look at what the Prophet is saying. The only, innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makaribul akhlaq. The only purpose of me to come here is to perfect your moral and ethical character. The only reason. Is to perfect your moral, not to establish your moral and ethical character. He doesn't say, I want to establish your moral and ethical character. He said, I have come here to perfect your moral and ethical character. What does that mean? It means that every human being has a potential within himself to be good, to have good ethics and good morality. The Holy Prophet says that you have that potential within yourself. My function is to purify you in such a way, to maximize that capacity in such a way, so that you are able to expose that good character within yourself. And so I have come to perfect your moral and ethical character. That's the only reason that I have come. So the question then comes that if Allah is saying that if the Holy Prophet is saying that my purpose is to perfect your moral and ethical character, then what is the purpose of worship? Yes? Why do we perform the worship? Why do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the purpose of worship? For Allah in the Quran says, and this is the ayah that I recited, and everybody knows this ayah, yes? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that I have only created jinn and human beings and insan. Why? I have only created them so that they may worship me. So if the only reason for creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the purpose of worship itself? That's the question, yeah? You know, sometimes, you know, some of us, you know, interpret this verse, you know, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We interpret it very literally, yes? We look at the very superficial interpretation of this verse. And sometimes we ritualistically carry out acts of worship thinking that, you know, we are done. We've done a good thing. We have done our acts of worship, and that has now made us very pious people, yes? And sometimes you carry out these acts of worship in such a way that you become so habituated with that act of worship that if you miss that act of worship, it makes you feel uneasy, yes? It's not a good day today. I missed my Salatul Layl last night. It's not a good day, right? And it makes you feel a little bit uneasy. It's sometimes we carry out these acts of worship in such a way that we feel that by carrying out this act of worship, we have become very pious in our nature. And there is a level of self-conceit that then gets into our hearts. It's called ujb, right? It's a level of self-conceit. Then we start to judge other people, yes? People who are sitting next to us and say, you know, aa to masjid ma nathi aayo. Hun to ene 3 mahina thya masjid ma nathi joyo. Etle tane kacha ne aayo che masjid ma aave che to namaz hoy che. Namaz tyare nathi aavto. Pachi aave che khali khava taine. Niyaz taine. Niyaz khai ane pachi pacho vatai jay che. We become judgmental in the way we look at other people. Right? Because we have this level of self-conceit and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm very pious. Yeah? I wake up for Salat, I wake up for Salatul Layl, I do all of these things, yes? And it becomes something of a self-conceit because we have not understood the purpose of worship. The purpose of worship, when you look at this verse and you connect it with other verses in the Holy Quran, the thing that we must understand is that the act of worship is not the goal. Please listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. The act of worship is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that that act of worship has to develop your moral and ethical character. See, sometimes we take the act of worship as the goal. And we don't understand that the act of worship is not the ultimate goal. The act of worship is a means towards achieving the goal. The goal is to be able to reflect the names and attributes of Allah within ourselves, thereby building and establishing our moral and ethical character. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَا مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ I have come to perfect your moral and ethical character. That's what the Holy Prophet says. The worship is a means for you to then perfect your moral and ethical character. Now let's look at some examples, yes? Because of course, you know, it's easy for me to say something, but then I have to be able to prove it with some examples. The most important act of worship that we carry out is what? Is what? Salat, yes? Salat is the most important act of worship. Do you not agree? Yes, salat is the most important act of worship. What does the Quran say about salat? Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salat. Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wa la dhikrullahi akbar. Look at what the Quran is saying, yes, about salat. The Quran is saying that recite what has been revealed to you, what has been sent to you in the book by the inspiration to you, and establish prayer. Oh Allah, why establish prayer? Establish prayer because prayer will refrain and restrain you from performing shameful and unjust acts. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer, the salat will restrain you, will stop you from performing shameful and unjust act. The purpose of salat is to restrain you from performing shameful and unjust act. The purpose of salat is to build your character. That's what the purpose of salat is. Yes? That's why it has to be performed. Remember, you know, salat has two components to it, yes? There is the form of salat, and there is the essence of salat. The form and structure is the jurisprudential part of salat. It must be performed, and it must be performed in the way that it's supposed to be performed. You cannot say, I just feel like doing 4 rakat fajr today. It's just, I just feel good, man. I need to do 4 rakat salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, I created you. You are my creation. I want you to worship me the way I would like you to worship me, not the way you want to worship me. Yes? The way you want to worship me, that's what shaitan did. Yeah? Shaitan says to Allah, your sajda, as many as you want, I'm ready to do. But Adam, I cannot do. Yes? Shaitan is saying, I will worship you the way I want to worship you. Allah says, I don't want that worship. I want you to worship me the way I want you to worship me. And so the jurisprudential part of the performance salat is very important. You have to recite salat in the way that it's supposed to be recited for its eligibility to be accepted. But once you have recited your salat, the question is that salat of mine, has it been accepted or not? No, not only has that salat been accepted, has that salat been perfected or not? That's a separate question. That now goes to the essence of salat. You need to move beyond the structure to the essence of salat. Has that salat become your mi'raj? As-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min, yes, the Holy Prophet says. Has it really, truly ascended you to a level of the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the challenge, yes? And that challenge comes when that salat has an effect on your character. If it has an effect on your character and it prevents you from shameful and unjust deeds, then know that your salat has been accepted. The imam was asked this question. Somebody came to one of our imams and said, how do I know if my salat has been accepted or not? And the imam says that if after performing salat, if you see a change in your character, then be confident that your salat has been accepted. Don't have doubt in it. Be confident that your salat has been accepted. The salat has to have an effect, and the effect is it has to change my character. Yeah, that becomes very important, because you know, if your salat gets accepted, you know, as-salatu umududdin, yes, in qubilat qubila ma siwa wa in ruddat rudda ma siwa. You know, the Holy Prophet says that salat is the pillar of your religion. If your salat is accepted, then all your amals are accepted. And if your salat is rejected, then all your amals are rejected. The purpose of salat is to build your character. You know, somebody came to our sixth imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And said to our imam, you know, how do I know if somebody is a believer, a true believer? How do I find out if somebody is a true believer? And the sixth imam says, do not look at how long his ruku is and how long his sujood is. He says, do not look at that. You know, in Africa, we used to have, you know, in those days, in the old days, you know, the parents would talk, you know, if they liked a girl and a boy, if there was going to be, a relationship, a marriage relationship, then the parents would first be approached. And the father of the girls, you know, would first question would be, namaz pareche? Yes? Roja rakheche? Yes, that was the first question, right? Does he pray? Does he fast? That would be the first question the father asked. Now it's different, alhamdulillah. Now is, does he drive a 7 Series BMW? You know, does he have a big house? It's different now, alhamdulillah. But in those days, what it was we used to ask, then our father used to ask, you know, does he pray? Does he fast? So now the boy who really likes the girl, he knows that, you know, my to-be father-in-law, he needs to know that I am praying. You know, that so he comes to the mosque, yes? And he waits for his father-in-law to come to the mosque. And as soon as the father-in-law-to-be enters the mosque, he stands up, Allahu Akbar, yes? And after Surah Al-Hamd, he recites Surah Baqarah, yes? To try and make the point that, yes, alhamdulillah, I am a muttaqi, yes, I fast and I pray long salat. Yes, the sixth imam says, do not look at, if you want to recognize a true believer, do not look at whether he prolongs his salat, whether he prolongs his ruku, whether he prolongs his sujood. Do not look at that. Because the sixth imam says, because it may just be a habit for him. It may just be a habit. Or he may be doing it to show off. There may be a habit to him. He says, if you truly want to recognize a true believer, then see how honest that person is and how trustworthy that person is. Yes? Look at his character. If you look at his character, that will tell you if he is a true believer or not. Salat has a purpose, my friend. The purpose is to build our character, yes? You know, once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam it was time for Salat in Masjid al-Nabawi. Yeah? And the Prophet was late for Salat. He was late. I think it was Zuhr Salat or something. But he was late for Salat. So the people in Masjid al-Nabawi, they are waiting. But Prophet Moro take it. Holy Prophet is late, you know. And they're saying he's late. Every time he tells us, recite Salat on time, recite Salat on today, he's late. Alhamdulillah, a few minutes late, he came. The Prophet came, he performed his Salat. The people performed Salat behind the Prophet. After performing the Salat, everybody went. But there was somebody like me. Don't die, African. Marajo, right? Yes, somebody like me, it was niggling him, yes? So he went to the Prophet, he said, Prophet, you know, I'm just telling you, you were late, little bit late, eh? I'm just saying, you know. So the Prophet smiled at him, and the Prophet said, he said, look, and I was coming towards Masjid al-Nabawi. He says, the alleyways of Medina are very narrow, yes? And he says, as I was making my way towards Masjid al-Nabawi, there was an old man in front of me, a frail old man in front of me with a stick, who was walking very, very slowly in front of me. He said that I was not able to pass him. It was not appropriate for me in my character to tell this old man to move aside so that I could pass him. So I just remained behind him, and that is why I was late. Salat is supposed to build your character. Yeah? You know, there's another incident where Holy Prophet once, you know, he was reciting Salat. And he was reciting Salat, and I think it was a 4 rakat Salat. So it was either Zohar Asr or Isha. He was reciting Salat. After 2 rakats, the Prophet sped up his Salat. He recited it fast after the first 2 rakats. He recited it very fast, and he finished the Salat. So everybody, you know, they recited their Salat behind the Prophet, and then everybody left, but then there was this person like me, yes? It was niggling him. And he came to the Holy Prophet, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, today's Salat, first 2 rakats, alhamdulillah, brilliant, yes? Really enjoyed the first 2 rakats. But the second 2 rakats, you know, you went very fast. I didn't get as much pleasure out of your second 2 rakats was very fast. And the Prophet smiled at him and he said, look, when I was reciting the 2 rakat salat, as I was finishing the second rakat, he said that I heard an infant that was crying. And he said, when I heard this infant that was crying, I realized that this baby is only a few days old. And because this baby was crying, I realized that the mother of this baby must be very anxious because the baby is crying. Because of that and the anxiety and the worriedness of this particular mother, I sped up my last 2 salat so she could attend to the infant. The purpose of Salat is to build your character. That's the purpose. The next important, you know, worship that we carry out after Salat is fasting, yes? Agree? I'm going through Furuuddin, don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 10, yes? Because I don't have the time, the Mukhi has not given me the time for all 10, yes? But the second is fasting. So what does Allah say about fasting? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, I have prescribed fasting for you, just as I have prescribed it from all those before you. Why, O Allah, have you prescribed this fasting? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may develop taqwa, so that you may develop righteousness within yourself, so that you may have piety, so that you may have that moral and ethical character, which is the purpose of the fast. Once again, because we are in Ayyam-e Muhammadiyya, right? So I'm giving you examples of the Holy Prophet, yes, today. Yes. So once the Holy Prophet is walking in the streets of Medina, it is the holy month of Ramadan, and he is walking in the middle of the day, and he sees this woman, and this woman is abusing her servant. She's abusing her servant. Gali dena, yes, profanities against her servant. And as she's abusing the servant, the Holy Prophet stops, and he says to his companion, "Get me some water." And the companion goes and gets some water for the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet takes that water and he gives it to this woman. And he said, "Drink some water." And the woman looks at the Holy Prophet and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, it is the holy month of Ramadan and I am fasting." And the Holy Prophet said, "You are not fasting. All you have done is you have refrained from food and drink. You are practicing hunger and thirst. You are not fasting, for if you were fasting, it should change your character. Your abuse of your servant shows that this fast of yours has had no effect on your character." That's the purpose of fasting. You know, the third worship that we consider highly regarded after fasting is Hajj, yes? Hajj. You know, you see about Hajj, and I don't have a lot of time, so you see about Hajj, our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. The fourth Imam, he goes to Hajj. And he has a companion with him. In some riwayat, the companion is Abu Basir. In other riwayat, the companion is listed as somebody else. It doesn't matter, whoever it is. It was a companion. And the companion, when they get to the Kaaba, the companion says to the to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he says that, "Yabna Rasulullah, mashallah, this year, so many people have come to Hajj." Eh? And the fourth Imam says to him, "How do you know that there are so many believers in Hajj this year?" He says, "Yabna Rasulullah, do you not hear the echoes of Talbiyah that is being recited? Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. Do you not hear the echoes of Talbiyah? There are so many people who have come to perform Hajj." And the fourth Imam says to his companion, "Come close to me." And the companion comes close to the fourth Imam. And now the fourth Imam says to him, he says, "Now take these two fingers, look at my two fingers, and look between my two fingers." As the companion looks between the two fingers of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he sees that the people who are doing tawaf of the Kaaba, there is only a handful of human beings. The rest of the people who are doing tawaf are animals. Some of them are pigs, some of them are wolves, some of them are lions, different kind of animals. He gets shocked and he said, "What is this, Yabna Rasulullah?" And Imam Sajjad says that, "You say that there is so many people who have come to do tawaf and to have come to Hajj this year. Do you not see that there is only a handful of people who are doing the tawaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The rest of them, their character is animalistic in nature. So what you see is their actual reality, which is the reality of their animalistic nature. The Hajj that they are performing has not had an effect on their moral and ethical character." That's the purpose. The purpose of worship, my friends, is that purpose of worship where, you know, it has to have an effect on your moral and ethical character. We can come you know, 12 days of Muharram, 40 days of Muharram, we will be commemorating, you know, the tragedy until, you know, the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah until 8th Rabiul Awal, inshallah, yes? And we come and we cry and we do matam. The purpose of Muharram is not to cry on Imam Hussein. The purpose of Muharram is not to do lament on Imam Hussein. The purpose of Muharram is not to do matam. That is not the purpose. It's not the ultimate purpose. The adhaa that we carry out, the lamentations, the crying, the matam, the azaa that we carry out are a means to perfect our character, to perfect and establish that moral and ethical character within itself. For every time that hand raises up in the air and it comes down on your chest to do the matam of Aba Abdullah, every beat should have an effect on your moral and ethical character. And when you do that, then wallahi, you have done the azaa of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You have done the azaa of Aba Abdullah. Otherwise, you know, these acts of azaa, they have a benefit, of course. This is the beauty of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, yes? It doesn't matter. It will still give you, Allah will still reward you for it, but you will not get the essence of the azaa. The essence of the azaa is that drop of tear has to have an effect on your character. You know what? On the day of Ashura, yes, you do amal of Ashura, yes? And one of the amals that you do is you walk 7 times forward and 7 times back, yes? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ridhan bi qada'ihi wa tasliman li amri. Yes, this is part of the amal. Ever thought what the significance of that amal is? So many things happened on the day of Ashura, yes? This is the sunnah of the imam that we perform in that amal, where he is taking his 6-month-old baby, Ali ibn al-Asghar, who has been just slaughtered by Hurbala, and he takes him towards the Khaymagah and he retreats back. Yes, 7 times. That's why we perform that amal. But so many things Imam did on the day of Ashura. Why is it that it is this act that has been included in the amal of Ashura? It has a very important significance, a very important symbolic meaning. The holy Imam is taking his 6-month-old baby, and his 6-month-old baby, he is presenting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is saying, "Oh Allah, I have orphaned my children. I have given you my sacrifice of this 6-month-old baby. That is what I am presenting to you." The symbolic meaning of this is when we perform that amal, the question is, who is your Ali Asghar? What is that sacrifice that you are prepared to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Muharram? That's the challenge. Yes? What are you presenting to Allah this Muharram? If you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, you know, that act that I have been neglectful of, which is wajib, I will now perform it. Or you say that that act which I have been performing, which is in your disobedience, and I will stop performing this act from now on, then you have done the amal of Ashura. Otherwise, you have performed the ritual. What is your sacrifice? That's the challenge. Aur Azadana ne Hussain ye jo qurbani thi jo hame milti hai qurbani ye aasan nahi thi. Imam ne jo qurbani di hai aur aaj mujhse ye guzarish ki gayi thi ke shaam e watan ke bare mein kuch masaib par ha ki ye jab loota hua kafila jab Madina wapas aaya hai unke bare mein kuch main paru. میں آپ کو ایک بات بتانا چاہتا ہوں. یہ ہے نا بہت ہی مشکل مرحلہ تھا اہل عزا. یہ اہل حرم کے لیے بہت ہی مشکل مرحلہ تھا واپس مدینہ آنا. جب یہ اہل حرم جب واپس مدینہ آتے ہیں تو ایک مرتبہ بشیر آتا ہے محلے بنو ہاشم کے پاس. محلے بنو ہاشم میں بشیر نے آ کے ایک اعلان کیا کہ اے مدینے والو, مدینہ اب رہنے کے قابل نہیں رہا. ابا عبداللہ کا جو قافلہ ہے وہ اب مدینہ واپس آیا ہے. بس محلہ بنی ہاشم میں جب بشیر نے یہ صدا دی ہے تو ہمیں روایت میں ملتا ہے کہ ایک 5-6 سال کا بچہ جو ابو الفضل عباس کا بیٹا تھا وہ ایک گھر سے باہر نکلتا ہے, انگلی میں اپنی دادی کا ہاتھ پکڑے ہوئے ام البنین کے ساتھ یہ بچہ نکلتا ہے. ایک مرتبہ بشیر کے گھوڑے سے لپٹ کے کہتا ہے, بشیر میری دادی جو ہے آپ سے کچھ سوال کرنا چاہتی ہے. نازاداروں, بشیر نے ام البنین کو دیکھا, ام البنین کو کہا کہ بی بی کیا پوچھنا چاہتی ہو. ام البنین نے کہا, بشیر میرے حسین کی کوئی خبر لے کے آئے ہو؟ بس بشیر نے یہ سنا, کہا بی بی ابا عبداللہ الحسین 3 دن کا بھوکا پیاسا کربلا کے میدان میں شہید ہو گیا. بس یہ سننا تھا. ام البنین مدینے میں بیٹھ گئی, اپنے گھر کے باہر بیٹھ گئی, زمین مدینہ میں بیٹھ گئی, زار زار رونے لگی. عباس کے بیٹے کو لیا, اپنی آگوش میں رکھا. اب بی بی نے کہا, بشیر ایک اور سوال کرنا چاہتی ہوں. بی بی کیا بات ہے؟ بشیر مجھے یہ بتا, جب میرا ابا عبداللہ شہید ہوا تو میرے عباس کی کیا حالت تھی؟ بس یہ سننا تھا. بشیر نے کہا, بی بی ابا عبداللہ کی شہادت سے پہلے عباس کے دونوں شہزادے شہید ہو گئے تھے اور وہ نہر فرات میں شہید ہو گیا. بس یہ سننا تھا. اب ذرا میں ام البنین ایک مرتبہ عباس کے بیٹے سے لپٹ کے رونے لگی, ہاتھوں کو بلند کیا, الحمدللہ رب العالمین میں بہت خوش ہوئی, ورنہ میں یہ برداشت نہ کر سکتی کہ میرا حسین مارا گیا ہو اور میرا عباس زندہ ہو. عزاداران حسین, اب شام وطن کی بات ہے, یہ بہت کٹھن مصائب ہے. شام وطن میں ایک کیا ہوتا ہے, جناب زینب اور بی بیاں مسجد النبوی کے باہر آتی ہیں. مسجد النبوی کے باہر جناب زینب بیٹھ گئی, قریب میں ام رباب ہے, قریب میں ام کلثوم ہے, بی بیاں سب بیٹھ گئی. لوگ آتے ہیں پرسا دینے کے لیے. ایک مرتبہ ام البنین آگے بڑھتی ہے. ام البنین نے جناب زینب کو کہا, شہزادی میں ایک سوال کرنا چاہتی ہوں. جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں کیا بات ہے؟ اب ام البنین نے کہا, شہزادی میں سننا چاہتی ہوں کہ میرا عباس کیسے شہید ہوا. بس عزاداروں, اب جناب زینب ذاکرہ ہے, ام البنین عزادار ہے. اب جناب زینب نے ام البنین کو کہا, اماں عباس نہر فرات پانی لینے کے لیے گئے. ام البنین رونا شروع کیا, ام البنین نے رونا شروع کیا. جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں عباس نے پھر مشک سکینہ سے پانی کو بھرا. ام البنین رو رہی ہے. پھر جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں پھر ابا الفضل عباس خیمہ گاہ کی طرف واپس آ رہے تھے. ام البنین رو رہی ہے. پھر جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں پھر ایک ملعون نے آ کے عباس کے دائیں ہاتھ کو شہید کیا. ام البنین رو رہی ہے. پھر کہا کہ اماں پھر ایک دوسرے ملعون نے آ کے عباس کے بائیں ہاتھ کو شہید کیا. ام البنین رو رہی ہے. پھر جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں پھر غضب ہو گیا, حرملہ نے 2 تیر کا وار کیا ہے. ایک تیر مشک سکینہ میں پیوست ہوا, ایک تیر عباس کی آنکھ میں پیوست ہوا, آنکھ سے خون بہنے لگا, مشک سے پانی بہنے لگا. ام البنین رو رہی ہے. پھر جناب زینب نے کہا, اماں پھر کسی نے آ کے عباس کے
سر پہ تلوار کا وار کیا، عباس او گھوڑے سے زمین پہ گرے۔ بس یہ کہنا تھا، اب ام البنین نے چلا کے کہا، شہزادی اب میں آگے کچھ نہیں سننا چاہتی، میں آگے کچھ نہیں سننا چاہتی، میرا ایک ہی سوال ہے، اما کیا بات ہے؟ ام البنین نے کہا، میرا آخری ایک سوال ہے، مجھے یہ بتاؤ کہ جب کوئی شہید گھوڑے سے زمین پہ گرتا ہے تو اپنے دونوں ہاتھوں کا سہارا لیتا ہے؟ ہائے میرا عباس، گھوڑے سے زمین پہ کیسے گرا ہوگا؟ یہ سننا تھا، جناب زینب نے کہا، اما عباس گھوڑے سے زمین پہ اسی طرح سے گرا ہے جیسے زینب اونٹ پہ گری ہے، جیسے زینب اونٹ سے گری ہے۔ عباس کے دونوں شانے شہید ہو گئے تھے، عباس منہ کے بل گرا تھا اور زینب کے دونوں ہاتھ پسے گردن بندھے ہوئے تھے۔ جب زینب اونٹ سے گری ہے تو زینب بھی منہ کے بل گرا۔
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون۔ ماتم حسین، یا حسین۔